Kicking back with Kelly.
I'm Kelly Dillon, and fashion is my life. Join me on Kicking Back with Kelly as we meet with the hottest celebrities, reality TV stars, and fashion influencers.
Wow. Did you see that coat?
Dying over it.
Kicking back with Kelly.
Oh, that's so good.
Life. Kelly. Fame. Fashion, fortune. Kicking Back with Kelly isn't just another podcast, it's a lifestyle. Download and subscribe on radio.com and the new radio.com app.
Kicking Back with Kelly.
Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. We've been previewing the new version of HuntRealEstate.com, which will be out soon. I encourage you to go there now. I was playing around with some of our valuation methodologies early this morning, and it's really quite remarkable. I encourage you to go there now. No matter if you're considering selling your house or not, it's always good to know where you stand in the marketplace or where any house that you're interested in might stand, even if it's not on the market today, and that's available only at huntrealestate.com. And we have actually three different valuation methodologies there that will lead you to, I think, a successful conclusion and within a certain range of what any home would be worth, and it's really anywhere. It doesn't have to be here in Western New York. It can go anywhere in this country. So it's a pretty phenomenal system. And that is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, and Rochester, all across upstate, and even out to Phoenix, Arizona, and now even Boston, Massachusetts. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call Hunt Mortgage today at 633-3700 and ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants, and that is guaranteed. Ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you, that's commitment, not qualification, commitment, that allows you at no cost or risk to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash because you've got a mortgage commitment. That's the same as cash in today's world. So call Hunt Mortgage at 633-3700 for personalized, customized, knock your socks off service, and check out that low rate guarantee. It's very important that you enter the market today, particularly with, although they're not fluctuating radically, interest rates are moving in the right direction now, but you want to make sure that you know exactly, excuse me, what's going on. That's through one of our mortgage consultants. And don't forget about the first ever 24/7 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale here in Buffalo, Niagara, but all across upstate as well, and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. All you have to do is dial 716-631-4800. We do have local numbers outside of Buffalo, and they'll be right on our sign. And enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is. It doesn't have to be ours. The hotline will prompt you with a choice of street names. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that particular property. It's all automatic and just that fast anytime in any market we serve. It's faster than turning on your phone and trying to sift through Google or something else to find out that house. Just dial 631-4800. And that's any listing, whether it's ours or any other broker's. So it's important that you know that. We are in the spring market, the most active time of the year, and there still is a shortage of inventory available out in the marketplace today, believe it or not. Even with, you know, as normally happens, there's fluctuations in the marketplace. And I think this issue of low inventory is one we're going to be exploring in future shows because it's important that you understand why there's a low inventory today and why that may not really be changing anytime soon. So if you do find something that you're interested in, you really have to look beyond the fact that it may not be perfect. There is no such thing. And you will make it your home once you buy it and move in. And so give yourself the opportunity by not missing out on a good house that may not be precisely perfect. But let us help you with that process. And don't forget, it's a time when, you know, really when you list your home today and you're thinking about buying or selling or moving, the fact of life is that you pay no commission. There's been a lot of talk about commissions lately. You pay no commission unless the broker, hopefully us, bring you an offer that is acceptable to you, that will net you what you want. At that point, then the commission comes into play, but only then. And if you're like most people, you'll calculate that when you look at the offer, and you'll calculate what, and if you don't, your agent should, exactly what you will net from that house. And I don't think there's anybody listening to this show that would sell their home today for less than what they think they should net for their home. And if you are one of those people, please call me and let me know, and I'll buy your house. I think it's important that you understand that we're here to get you the most for your house. And in the meantime, up until that point in time, you pay nothing through a Hunt Real Estate ERA agent. So let's look at today's, what we've got on the agenda today. We have a very special show for you today. Here in the studio with me today is Patrick Kaler. Mr. Kaler is the president and CEO of Visit Buffalo Niagara, one of the most important institutions in town, because this is the institution responsible for attracting people to our community to come and visit and spend money, right? Right,
that, Patrick? Exactly. That's what we do.
Is that about right?
Yeah. In a nutshell, you got it right on.
Well, welcome, Patrick. And I'd like you to take us back a little time to when you came to Buffalo, how you got here, and then just give us a brief impression of what you think about our community, having been here for a while.
Sure. Well, I just celebrated my fifth anniversary here in Buffalo and moved here on January 1st of 2014. And at that time, there were probably seven or eight cranes in the air with so much development taking place. And we have estimated that over the course of last few years, about $2 million of all of that new, $2 billion of all that new development can be related back to tourism. And what's been really exciting for us is to, really look back over the last 5 years, take a look at the number of visitors, the economic impact over those 5 years. And last year, we welcomed over 8 million visitors to Buffalo and Erie County, and that's a 14% increase since 2013. It's a $1.8 billion industry for our community, and that's an 11% increase since 2013. And just in Erie County alone, over $123 million in tax revenue can be attributed to tourism, and that's a 20% increase in since 2013. So I think, people sometimes might think of tourism as being something a little frivolous, and what does that do for me as a resident? And it actually does. It provides a tax relief to our residents, about $578, and that's a 12% increase since 2013. So we have a fantastic tourism product that's been developed over many years that really has increased our ability to promote and market the destination. One of my favorite quotes, if you'll indulge me for just a moment, a friend of mine in Texas, my counterpart in Irving, Texas, came up with this, just to prove that tourism really is economic development to a community. And she says, if you build a place where people want to visit, you will build a place where people want to live. And if you build a place where people want to live, you will build a place where people will want to work. And if you build a place where people want to work, you will build a place where businesses want to be. And if businesses want to be there, then people will want to visit. I think this even plays into real estate, too. Again, people want
Absolutely.
To live in a place that is vibrant, that visitors want to come to. And I think that over the last 5 years, we have increased that tourism product and inventory. Later this month, we're going to be opening up the Children's Museum downtown at Canalside. These are all really great things for us to be able to talk about, to be able to get the attention of travel writers, meeting planners, sports right holders, all the people that we engage with, then to bring people to our destination and, again, leave behind a good tax base for our community.
Well, you said a lot there, Patrick, and I was scribbling down notes madly as you were speaking, and it's quite remarkable, actually. In terms of your own impressions, mm-hmm. right now, one of the things that we've been exploring on this show directly and indirectly is how we maintain that momentum, that data that you just provide.
Right.
How do we have the next 5 years look like the past 5 years in terms of that kind of growth?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you see as kind of the key factors that would continue this positive momentum?
Yeah, well, I'm really encouraged by all that has taken place. And what we can continue to do to improve our product. One of the big opportunities there would be the convention center. You know, we've built all of this product around the convention center or in the downtown area, but one of the big missing pieces right now is a convention center. And I know that's a big topic of debate. It's something that the county is looking at, and we're still a few years away from getting to a place where we might have a new convention center. But you know, as I talk about these increases that we've been able to enjoy, you know, my job is to make sure that we don't become stagnant and how we continue that momentum. One of the ways that we do that is by bringing travel riders to our destination to, you know, experience it, write firsthand about their experiences in the destination. And last year, we brought in over 50 travel riders. They wrote over 230 different pieces that, you know, now with the internet, these things go viral. And the ad equivalency of that was over $7 million. The interesting thing to think about on that is that we generated $7 million worth of PR value. My budget is only $4 million. So I couldn't even have purchased all of that in advertising. So this is a great way for us to be able to market the destination. But, you know, we also need to be able to market it through advertising, TV ads, print ads, digital ads. But we are challenged with that through our budget. About $12 million is generated in bed tax. We receive about $3.8 million of that. And we're grossly outspent by our competition. Clearly, you know, Cleveland, Pittsburgh are spending a lot more, but two other destinations that I think are to be considered are Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Madison, Wisconsin. They have a bigger budget than we do to market our destination. And when I say we have, you know, $2 billion worth of new assets, wouldn't it be great to be able to tell that story so that we have constant flow of meeting planners, sports right holders, and these travel writers coming in and talking about it to bring in all of those visitors. I would like to see us get to a place where we're welcoming over, you know, maybe 2.5 million visitors to our destination, that we're generating, that it's a, you know, a $2.5 billion industry. Those are the types of goals that I would like to get to. One of the things that I think that we need to do is to put together a tourism destination master plan to put our arms around our destination and see what's missing, what are the opportunities over the next 5, 10, 20 years that we need to be looking at. Yeah, we have GPS on our phones and our cars, but we still need a visual wayfinding system for our community to get around to all of these great assets that we have. We still need a visual benchmark to get people to these fantastic assets. So,
does the systems like that exist?
Oh, they absolutely do. So that's one of the things that I put into my business plan this year is to, you know, find the funding, because it's a pretty hefty price tag to do a destination master plan. Other destinations are doing it and they're being very successful with it. But that's one of the things that I'm hoping to accomplish this year is to put together the funding so that we can do this. And it'll be a year-long process to go through this. We'll engage with our, not just our government officials, our residents, our business community, because tourism is a big business for our community, and we need to make sure that we're doing it right and doing it right over the long term.
The county executive is going to be on in a couple of weeks here, so I'll ask him about some of this stuff. But where's the bottleneck? Why wouldn't you be funded to a greater extent? What's holding that up?
Well, I guess the good news is that the county executive and the county legislature is investing in tourism with those bed tax dollars. They give out about 68 different grants to our cultural institutions. They also fund the convention center about $1.8 million. So the bed tax is being utilized for tourism. I've always said, though, I think that if we had an increase in our budget, we could bring even more people to our community to go to those cultural institutions. They'll spend more time in there. They'll, you know, have lunch. They'll spend money in the gift shops. Maybe they'll even become a member. But we could bring even more people into these cultural institutions. But I'm at least encouraged that the county executive and the legislature is using those dollars for tourism, because it still continues to strengthen our product that we are able to market to those outside visitors.
So you've mentioned four things essentially that will help to maintain and continue the momentum in our community and avoid, as you said, stagnation. One is a new convention center, and you mentioned that'd be a few years off. Secondly, continuing to bring travel writers in so that we can spread the word internationally about what's going on here. Obviously, budget dollars to help do the things you want to do. And then the last thing was this destination master plan, mm-hmm. which is you know, we've talked about various master plans in this community ad nauseum, really, since I've been around here. And one of the things that strikes me is that every time we produce one, it becomes this shiny document that no one ever looks at again. Or if they do, they forgot what was in there, and then they say, well, gee, I thought we were going to put something else in that location. Oh, well, it's not going to happen, so let's do something else. I remember I bought a piece of land, and we had a I think it was called Gateway, a project years ago for master plan for development of the whole region, and on this particular site was supposed to be a resort hotel, you know, and I said, so I called the head of the organization. I said, I want to build some houses there, and he said, go ahead. So like, we're not going to stop you. And I said, okay. So I don't know, is a plan something that becomes a, in such cases, it becomes kind of the Bible? Is that something we constantly refer to, or is it just a bunch of good wishes? In other cities, what's happened?
Absolutely. In other cities, they have had great success in putting these plans together. And I think that for Visit Buffalo Niagara, when we do our plans, we actually implement our plans because, you know, again, we can be that easy target in a community. So I think that, you know, when we do our plans, we do a strategic plan every 5-7 years. We are always constantly updating that plan and making sure that it is a living document that we are living by, because it's so easy for us to say, oh, you know, we spent a couple of $20,000 on this plan. Yeah, it looks great. We did it. We can check that box off. But no, we actually implement it. And I think, again, too, as we look at our community and how we are continuing to be better as a community, we're still going to be Buffalo. People are going to think that it's snowing here 365 days out of the year. And it's all about changing those perceptions. And when I say that we brought in these 50 travel writers last year, it used to be very hard for us to bring travel writers, especially during the wintertime. Nobody wanted to come to Buffalo in the winter. We now have these writers that are excited about Buffalo, and they're actually contacting us saying, I'd like to come to Buffalo in the winter. I've read about these ice bikes, all these other things that we can do in the wintertime. We're not afraid of winter in Buffalo anymore, so we'd like to come. So I think that's, you know, where we can continue to use our strengths and mobilize in that way using that plan. Again, it's not all about building things either with this plan. It's how we can improve the visitor experience. So again, it might come down to signage, how we can improve the visitor experience overall through our visitor centers, beautification in our community. It could be very easy things like that could come out of this plan. So like I said, you know, it's something that we really strive and do a very good job with utilizing the plans that we put into place.
Got a couple of minutes left here. I just want to tell you a quick story. I was in Rochester this week for a series of meetings. One of our top sales professionals came up to me, and she said that they'd come to the Fleetwood Mac concert, she and her daughter, and others as well. And there's maybe 40 people there in the room, and she stood up and raved about Buffalo. She said, it looks so new. It looks so nice. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what you've done. How did you do it? And I went off on her, told her all the great things that were happening there. But I didn't want to say, well, it's not happening in Rochester. So, but she said, it's not happening here. I said, well, look around. Rochester is a beautiful town, too. And she said, oh, but nothing compared to Buffalo. Here's a born and bred Rochesterian screaming about how great Buffalo was. So is that when people come here, do they find that same kind of surprise? Are they stunned? Or what are they expecting, Siberia or what?
Well, this is funny, Peter. This is exactly why we've come up with the Unexpected Buffalo branding campaign. Because we would hear from meeting planners and visitors, I didn't expect Buffalo to be this cool. I didn't expect Buffalo to have these great restaurants. I didn't expect Buffalo to have this fantastic attraction down at the waterfront. So that's how the Unexpected Buffalo came about. You know, many DMOs, destination destination marketing organizations like mine would spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to develop a branding campaign. And ours came out so organically. We didn't have to spend a dime on it. And we've created the Unexpected Buffalo persona, if you will. He is a live character that will come out to different meeting groups. We have him come out to sporting events. That's the guy on the cover of our new touring guide.
I'm holding up the yet to come out Visit Buffalo Niagara in the Buff guide to the Unexpected Buffalo, and there he is. There's the mascot right on the cover. So when can our listeners get this, by the way?
They will be out in distribution on Monday. So you're the first one to have it in our public sector.
Well, I feel very proud. And we'll be back with more from Our House to Yours after these very important messages.
This is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. The market continues to change from day to day, but one thing that hasn't changed since 1911 is our commitment to serve the needs of Western New York homebuyers. At Hunt Mortgage, we will always work to find our clients the best rate and home financing options available. Rates are rising, and now may be the very best time to buy or refinance your home before these low rates disappear.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, soon to be completely infrastructure-wise all-new again, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. It is the only place on the web where you can find a complete inventory of homes available not just here in Buffalo, Niagara, but all across upstate, even out to Phoenix, Arizona, and soon to be linked to a huge inventory in the Massachusetts market as well. And you'll also find access to a complete set of homeownership services at huntrealestate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. And for more information about our exclusive program that allows you to roll the cost of home improvements into your mortgage, allowing you to effectively buy the before and live the after, which should give you pause, I hope, when you're looking at a house and saying it's not perfect, but it could be a money pit. I don't want to get into it. This is the perfect plan for you. 633-3700. Ask for details. And also ask about our pre-purchase commitment or even our warm home loan. They're all available only at Hunt Mortgage. 633-3700. A general question about anything relative to real estate, call us here at the show at 803-0930 or 1-800-626-9230. And if you want to text us, it's 30930. And remember, we'll try to answer your call about anything relative to real estate. But if you just want to think of something on Monday, call 633-9400. That's the Hunt Customer Service Center. And we'll answer your question there or direct you to the appropriate professional who will be able to answer that question for you. And remember, our guarantee stands. We will sell your home or ERA will buy it. That's the seller security plan available only through Hunt Real Estate ERA agents. And it's the strongest guarantee in the marketplace today. So when you think about selling your home, you want to make sure that nothing can go wrong, and there's your answer for you right there, the seller security plan. I'm in the studio today with Patrick Kaler. Mr. Kaler is the president and CEO of Visit Buffalo Niagara, and we've been talking about Mr. Kaler's background, but also the issue here in our community, which is always going to be an issue, and that is how we keep things moving forward and the role of tourism in that process. And we were talking about the issues related to maintaining and building our momentum before the break. Is there anything else that you'd put on your list?
Like I said, the convention center is something that I think is definitely missing in our community. Big missed opportunity. If I can go into that just a little bit, we did a analysis of looking at the lost business that we have had over the last 5 years. And over 783 pieces of business were lost due to the condition of the building or due to the inability to host multiple events at the same time. The building is about 102,000 square feet of space. And what the consultants recommended in their initial study was, almost doubling it. It's about 235,000 square feet of space. But when the building was built, it was probably outdated from the day it was opened because it doesn't allow itself to be divided when you walk in the front door, which is built right on Franklin Street. So we can't, like I said, hold multiple events at the same time very well. Sometimes we have had a challenge with having a gala dinner with a cheer competition going on at the same time or a dance competition. It just doesn't work for us. So we've left a lot of business on the table. The convention center does a good job. We were filled about 279 days out of the year last year with 140 events. Over 270,000 people walked through the doors last year just on all of those events. It does provide $42 million in economic impact on an annual basis. And my question is, if we don't do something, because the study said that the convention center is functionally obsolete at this point, and if we don't do anything with the convention center moving forward, we will be out of the meetings and convention business in the next 10 years.
Isn't the study done?
The first study was done, mm-hmm. And that's where all of those numbers came from. There's still more studies to do because they did identify two locations in the community, but they were very preliminary, and they gave very preliminary drawings and architectural renderings. We've already punched some holes in some of those, but they need to go back and do more studies. So right now the county is getting ready to issue another RFP to look at the environmental impacts of the two locations, really the actual costs that could be incurred with both locations, looking at the utility impacts. So there is still much to be looked at, and that's why I say that this is still down the road. Looking at those two sites, we could potentially be adding about $35 million to that already $42 million with a larger convention center. More jobs, more events, more overnight visitation based on what a new convention or expanded convention center could do to our community. But again, I go back to how are we going to replace that $42 million that we will lose by year 10 by not having a convention center in our destination? And that's one of the things that keeps me up at night is, okay, well, what would happen? What would our role be? And what could we do to make that up? And that's why it's so important that all of our other assets are continuing to be strong, that we're able to tell a great message, that we don't rest on our laurels as a destination, that, you know, we still want to be vibrant and a place that people want to come to, not just one time, but come back again and again.
In the last 3 weeks, I've been to Las Vegas and New Orleans, two prime convention cities. And, you know, there's crawling with people with badges, you know, yeah. Everybody's got badge on, they're, you know, having a drink in one hand and badge around their neck, and they're all pumped up to be away from home and going crazy. Is that kind of our vision, you know, that we want to have a mini Vegas? Or and I ask that for a specific reason, because we have now a casino downtown, mm-hmm. and one of the two locations is near that. Mm-hmm. To what extent would that the growth of, let's say they threw up a hotel there, mm-hmm. you know, right next to it. I mean, how would that impact the other hotels? Because sure. A lot of these hotels have been built on kind of the promise of more tourist activity, mm-hmm. and a lot of that's built around conventions.
Exactly. Well, you know, we don't want to be a New Orleans, Las Vegas, Chicago, or Orlando, a big city like that. We know our place in the meetings and convention business, and that's what the consultant said, you know, that to be in that mid-size region or destination size, this is what we would need to be. We're not looking to have those large major conventions because we don't have the infrastructure to sustain that kind of business.
Isn't that kind of a chicken and egg thing too? If you did decide to be that kind of city, how many more hotel rooms? You don't know, that's
right.
A rhetorical question, but I mean, they'd have to be built almost first.
Exactly.
Right?
Well, and that was part of the study too, is that we would need probably another 500 to 700 more hotel rooms. and probably yes, down by the canal side area, if that's where the a new building would be built. We have engaged with our customer advisory council, other meeting planners to, you know, get their input on both of these locations, because a convention district is important for meeting planners. You know, they want to make sure that there is nightlife, things to do, restaurants within walking distance, as well as the hotels. Now, initially, we were concerned about the canal side location of the convention center, because right now there are only 301 hotel rooms in that vicinity. But the good news is that we have a free light rail. It's also a very walkable city. So all of those other hotels that are currently built around the existing hotel or the current convention center, they would still benefit from the convention center. If you think about Portland, if you've been to a convention in Portland, all of the hotels are in the downtown area, and their convention center is really way off, and you have to take the light rail out to it, which is not necessarily the most ideal. Our light rail, at least, is only a few blocks from so many of those hotels. So it's still very viable, very walkable, or, you know, free light rail. So that's not going to be a problem for us. Now, where it would become a problem down at the canal side is that we really don't have a convention district built yet. But we know that that will come over time. And that's something that was called out in the study that was done by the consultants, that we know that once a convention center is built, things will develop around it. But we do know that another 500 to 700 hotel rooms will be needed in that location. And probably those could be built before the convention center would even be completed. So knowing that that would be coming down the pike, or that construction was happening, that hotel would probably go up very quickly.
So developers would do that speculatively, mm-hmm. with the understanding that it's going to happen sooner or later.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, too, on the hotel side, I still engage with lots of hotel developers that are interested in bringing more hotel rooms to our destination. So they see the opportunities in Buffalo with or without the convention center. So I'm encouraged that the opportunities that a new convention center would bring to bring a larger, full-scale, full-service hotel to our destination.
We're going to pull us back to real estate in the last segment here, because it's kind of near and dear to my heart. But you're talking real estate, really. All of this is real estate. What about the arena itself as a center for activities surrounding conventions? It's 20 years old, mm-hmm. and there's talk that that needs to be redone. We have a stadium that we've redone sort of recently, and there's talk of building a new one. So, and the NFL, I'm sure, is pressuring our city, our community, to come up with a facility that looks a lot more like some of the other stadiums around the country. It won't look like one in Dallas, for example, but it will be, you know, an upgrade from where we are today. Mm-hmm. How do these things all dovetail together? And the reason why I ask, mm-hmm. I was at this conference in Las Vegas. It was at the MGM Grand Hotel, which has its own arena that holds, I don't know, 15,000, mm-hmm. or something like that. And there were 12,000 people at this particular conference. 12,000 people. And we all stayed really within one little block area, you know. So is that – that's not part of the vision here. But having said that, we do have an arena, mm-hmm. and we do have the convention center. And how do they work together,
sure.
if at all?
Well, they can't complement each other. The one thing that I have cautioned people is that we don't want a combination convention center stadium. Meeting planners don't want to put exhibits on the floor of a stadium. It's hard for them to put up pipe and drape and decorate it in this big cavernous space. What I would be in favor of is a convention center stadium arena district. I think that that lends itself to doing different types of events. You know, we talk a lot about bringing the All-Star game to Buffalo, and I think that's where a convention center could help with the fan experience, with all the things that would be happening in the arena. So I think that there are opportunities, and if I can go back again, Indianapolis is a great example of that, where they have their football stadium and a convention center, hotels, the convention district, all together in, you know, a relatively compact area, and that works for them. I think that we need to look at how the infrastructure would work in that area. I just attended a meeting where a member from Pagula Sports and Entertainment was talking about the stadium possibility and the arena and the you know, maybe if the convention center would end up in that area. And how do you move all those people in? Getting people there to the games or to the convention is one thing, but getting people out is a different, because everyone's going in at different times, staggered. But at the end, that's when you really have the major.
Leave at the same time. And I was in London for one of the Bills, the Bills game over there, which was pretty interesting the way that the fan experience one place and Wembley the other. It was very interesting. And we'll be right back with more from our house cheers after these important messages.
This is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. The market continues to change from day to day, but one thing that hasn't changed since 1911 is our commitment to serve the needs of Western New York homebuyers. At Hunt Mortgage, we will always work to find our clients the best rate and home financing options available. Rates are rising, and now may be the very best time to buy or refinance your home before these low rates disappear.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Hunt Mortgage is the home of the low rate and closing cost guarantee, as well as the pre-purchase commitment. Call them today, 633-3700. I'm in the studio today with Patrick Kaler. Mr. Kaler is the president and CEO of Visit Buffalo Niagara, and we've been talking a lot about infrastructure here in town and what lends itself to the best tourist experience and how we continue to grow that tourist experience, and hence that continuum that you described in your quote earlier. And I'm going to ask you for that. I'd like that if you'd send it to me after this, because I think that it goes to the issue of how all these activities that we've been talking about in this show and the people like you that are thought leaders in our community, how all this interacts to create a better investment picture for people investing right here in Western New York, which is the mission of our show, which is to help our listeners protect and enhance their investment in real estate here. But so much is dependent on that, including everything that's going around here, which is so much. But we had a couple weeks ago, I had Dennis Murphy on, who is the owner and operator of the Henry and also the Mansion and the Place of Boutique Hotel. We had a very interesting discussion about that, and also the Richardson campus, which is truly an amazing place. And I didn't realize that was originally 100 acres before they built a thing called a college on that. That's part of that space. But that's right across the street from the Albright Knox Art Gallery, where there's going to be, you know, $150 million and plus invested in the very near future. But that facility will have to come out of service for a little while, and that's a major draw. Mm-hmm. So you work closely, I'm sure, with Yanni and everybody at the museum to try to make sure that, you know, people don't come here and be disappointed. So they want to see some of the great works.
Absolutely. No, we work very closely with Yanni and his team and all of our cultural institutions, because, again, that's our product that we get to talk about and share with the world. And we're going to be having some conversations with them about when they do take the museum and the gallery out of commission for a while, and you know, how we then can amp up how we market the new museum and art gallery, and but just, you know, be in that constant conversation with them, because that is so important, that we are, you know, putting out the message that they want, because we have the audience to bring to Buffalo. But really the lead up of this new gallery, because I've heard that, you know, they have an immense collection, and a very small portion of it is put out on display. And
under 3%.
Exactly. And so, you know, to have the ability to put out even more of these wonderful works of arts that are here in Buffalo, it's one of the top 20 contemporary art museums in the world.
And it's certainly right, top four in this country.
Exactly. And it's just a fantastic opportunity. And, you know, to have this new museum in the next couple of years will just be a fantastic story for us to tell.
That's one great asset, but there's a bunch of them. If you were, I don't want you to, you know, diminish any others, but if you were to say there was a bowl of assets there, what would be the key items in that bowl, in your opinion?
Sure.
Obviously, we've got things like Niagara Falls. Okay, that's taken for granted. What else?
You know, the architecture that we have in Buffalo, that we have examples of three of the top American architects. Our cultural institutions that we have a fantastic Philharmonic and a beautiful facility that they're able to perform in. Shays is just a jewel in our downtown area. The rich history of our African-American culture in Buffalo and how we've been able to partner with that community to create the another voice video and everything that we do every year around Black History Month with the new African-American Heritage Guide that we put out. We're really just an embarrassment of riches that we have. And, you know, I've been across the country working for destinations in Chicago and Lake Tahoe and Los Angeles and outside of Washington, D.C. And we have it all here in Buffalo. We have a great foodie and culinary scene that, you know, obviously we're well known for our buffalo chicken wings, but we have so much more than that, and people are finding out about that now. When we're written up in Bon Appetit and Food and Wine magazine, I don't think people expect that from Buffalo, but we're there, and it's exciting for us to be in those types of publications and to tell those stories for people. Again, it goes back to completely unexpected that we would have this rich architecture, cultural, culinary scene right here in our Buffalo.
How important is this thing? And this is very important to me, but a good friend of mine is chairman of the board of this brand new art gallery in Miami, and it's quite impressive. Ours is better. I mean, it is. Our works mm-hmm. are better, but it's very impressive. But getting there is a monstrous pain. I was just in Toronto last weekend, and oh, man, I was so happy to get past all the traffic. But it took an extra hour each way time-wise than it would normally take just because it was such a monstrous hassle. How valuable is the hassle-less environment that we have here? To me, it's like almost everything.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, you know, we have great air service that comes into Buffalo. We have so many airlines from many different cities. Even getting further and further west has been fantastic for us. The JetBlue flight that comes in daily is filled almost 80%. We've got flights into Denver, obviously, Las Vegas. But we have great lift coming into our airport, and it's one of the top-rated airports in the United States, too. But our other advantage is that we're a very compact destination. So like with L.A., to get around L.A., to get from one side to the other, it can be an hour and a half, maybe sometimes 2 hours. Here in Buffalo, you can get from downtown to the whole house in 15 minutes. You can get out to East Aurora, a wonderful little gem that we have in our community with the Roycroft campus. You can be in less than 20 minutes to that. And that's one of the great things that we have to our advantage, that we have all of these great assets, and it's very easy to get to them. It doesn't take a lot of time, and so you can do many things in one day, or spend many more time in some of these destinations, knowing that you can get around very easily over the course of a few days and have a great Buffalo experience.
I don't want to end on a sour note, but I do have to ask you, you mentioned the things that will continue our momentum here, but what are the obstacles that we just can't seem to get out of the way?
I think it's our own Buffalo Nation sometimes. We are a little self-deprecating. Mm-hmm. Maybe it comes with a snowstorm that took place in 1977 that we can't get over, or the fact that we lost four Super Bowls. But it's a great place. And when I read some of the comments, you know, even talking about the convention center, well, why would somebody want to bring a convention to Buffalo? There's lots of reasons why people would want to come to Buffalo for a convention or for a leisure vacation. And I think sometimes, you know, we take for granted what we have in our own backyard. And that's too bad. I think we have so much to be proud of. And that's not to say we don't have people that are proud of their community. And there's, you know, a lot of civic pride here. But I think sometimes we can be very self-deprecating in our own way, and that's too bad, because I do think that there is so much to see and enjoy, taste the flavors of our community if, you know, we just get out of our own way and let people know how great it is.
One of the things that there was an article in the paper last week that was had to do with it had a picture of the former governor of Florida, who's now a senator, U.S. senator. And they were talking about the issue of why Florida was growing and has now surpassed New York State in terms of, I think it's number three in the country, where we're now number four, where we used to be number one, and the reasons why we were losing population. And the article had a serious bend towards it that it had nothing to do with taxes. But clearly, particularly when you're talking to people of means, people that are bringing jobs or or have the choice to move jobs, it is a factor, and the regulatory environment is a factor. You and I can't do anything about that, but does that play into the whole kind of constriction of your activities in any way, or do you just work right around it and say to heck with it?
We just work right around it and say what the heck. You know, we know that we have a great destination with fantastic opportunities and fantastic assets that people will want to come and visit. And if you go on the Invest Buffalo website and you look at their talking points of how they're selling the destination, a lot of the articles that they're referring to go back to the things that we've been able to generate, talking about how great the city is, and it's a place to have a great weekend or girlfriend getaways. And so they're taking those fantastic assets that we've been able to generate and push them out to the business community, to business owners, corporations that might consider Buffalo. Because again, if it's a great place that people will want to visit, it'll be a great place where people will want to live and put their businesses.
One of the things that we wrestle with in the real estate community, though, is getting projects done. And how we get projects done that can effectively come into the market without a built-in loss. In other words, if we had to build something today, or anybody had to build something today, and bring it in for at market rates for leasing space, office space, for example, you couldn't build it without subsidies. Mm-hmm. Is that a handicap? People tell me in government that everybody subsidizes across the whole country, so we're no different. But do we have to subsidize more because we've got this glass ceiling on rents, which may be a good thing and to some if you're a user, but a very bad thing if you're an owner? Does that play into your discussions with people at all or not?
Well, I tell you, what's interesting to me is having lived in the Midwest and out West and the D.C. area, the state of New York really does fund a lot, and the county and the cities fund a lot of projects that I'm just not used to seeing in other destinations. It's impressive to me how the public sector does step up to help these institutions, these corporations, bring these jobs, bring these new assets to not only Buffalo, but the rest of the state. I've never seen investment like this in some of the other states that I've been in. And so it's encouraging to me. And again, I'll say it's encouraging to me in the hopes of a new convention center. The state has precedence as far as helping to build convention centers around the state. Right now, the Javits Center is going through a major renovation expansion project to the tune of $1.5 billion. All funded from the state of New York. They help fund the convention center in Niagara Falls and Syracuse and Lake Placid. So I'm encouraged by that, and I know that that is an avenue that the county will pursue. But the state does have a really good track record of doing that, where I haven't seen that in other states. I don't know of many other destinations that have state-funded convention centers or arenas or football stadiums to the tune that we see in the state of New York.
Well, I'm delighted that after 5 years, your upbeat attitude is undiminished, Patrick. It does my heart good, and I hope it does our listeners' hearts good as well, because it is important that we first bolster ourselves so that we can then take on the rest of the world and make Buffalo what we know it can be and continue to make it that way. We didn't get into a lot of things I wanted to discuss, for example, the parks and things like that I know are tremendous assets for all of us, but I want to thank you, Patrick Kaler, President and CEO of Invest Buffalo Niagara, for joining me this morning.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I'd like to thank our listeners. We'll be back again next week at the same time. And remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate is hunt country.
Hey, it's Olivia Caridi. I am the villain from The Bachelor with one of the biggest mouths, maybe ever. Check out my podcast, Mouthing Off, where you'll hear from all your favorite reality stars. Each week, I'm mouthing off with my reality friends from all your favorite shows. The Bachelor, Big Brother, Survivor, Jersey Shore, Real Housewives. You'll get all the behind-the-scenes info and major gossip. That's on Mouthing Off with Olivia Caridi. Subscribe on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite shows.